This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight leads the band that has taken the word refraction as the name of his jazz trio. I think it's important to note that the word refraction is defined as being the bending of light or radio waves through a medium of varying density. It's my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio at Joy 94.9, drummer, composer and band leader of the band Refraction, Chris Broomhead. Welcome, Chris.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure indeed to have you back in studio. It's been about a year. You had your album launch last year. And I remember last year we had yourself and Brenton and Jordan in studio and we stuck you in the corner.
That's right. With a microphone draped over the cymbal.
That's right. It was rather fun. Actually, I think we might have got that up on YouTube as a video. I think we taped that and popped it up there. But you're back this year for a couple of reasons, one of which is that you're going overseas. But I thought, first of all, the name of the band Refraction, just remind me why you've chosen Refraction for your band.
Well, its initial choice, I don't really remember why. It was something I was searching for a name back when I started the trio in 2013. And initially, I was just going to call it the Chris Broomhead Trio, shortened to CBT. But a friend of mine highlighted that that's actually a type of therapy, which wasn't going to be quite so appropriate for a band name. So she suggested I change it, which I did. And I think I did a bit of just Google searching random words and things that I liked. I think part of the reason why I landed on it was, you know, I enjoy the colours, the idea of different shades of things,
All those things that happen when you actually refract light through a prism, etc.
It's not quite the same as the word, you know, fusion, I suppose. But there's sort of an element of it that reminds me of that and makes me think of different elements, combined or diffusing, if that kind of makes sense.
It's a little bit vague,
but...
But in essence, that is what particularly jazz musicians do, improvising jazz musicians do, because they are refracting their sounds. They're changing their sounds as they go along, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whether it be an instrument that has a pitch to it, or whether it be percussion, it's always intrigued me that it's refraction led by a drummer, or there's another group led by a drummer, because there's not a lot of groups out there that have the drummers leading them.
No, there's not. I mean, historically, obviously, there have been. Obviously, some of the great jazz quartets, quintets, trios and others have, but... Yeah, I guess it's not unique to Melbourne as such, but it's a point of difference, yeah.
It is indeed. What do you think you bring to the trio as a drummer leading the trio? What is it that you can do that's different to an instrumentalist such as a sax player or a trombone?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I actually see my role more about the direction of the music rather than specifically about the drums. Like, I would probably think that what I'm trying to do is less about what I'm playing on the drums, like rhythmically, and more about the sort of music that I like to write and the sort of stuff that I like to hear. I mean, I grew up playing clarinet and studying music theory, so I was always able to grasp that side of music and not just simply be the drummer who, you know, didn't do all those sorts of things. So, the trio has really been a vehicle largely for my own compositions and the things that I wanted to hear. And I think not being perhaps a piano player or a bass player or a saxophone player has sort of freed me to write stuff that just might be different to what a piano player or a saxophone player or a bass player would write.
Is the difference between what you write and what the toned instruments might write something to do with the rhythms that you use? Is that something that you bring along to the mix?
Most of the time, no, I don't think. I think a lot of the stuff that I write tends to be more melody focused. I enjoy writing melodies. I mean, I enjoy writing pop type melodies. A lot of the music on the three albums that we have is very melody based. Like the first thing, there's a lot of pop melodies. I mean, I think part of the description of our trio that we've got in our official bio is pop sensibilities of pop. I think Someone else wrote that.
Yes. Yeah. I did notice that the band is described as drawing inspiration from the sensibilities of pop, lyricism and melody.
That's it. Meg Evans wrote that a few years back. I've used it ever since.
Well, it does make sense, though, because what it says is that you're understanding how the pop world can be used to feed into the world of jazz.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to some pop. I'm not a huge big pop rock listener as such, but one of the things that I really enjoy about it is something that has a great melody, and that's often what the main point of a lot of that music is. I mean, there's obviously the lyrical side of it and what the content of the lyrics, what it's trying to say, what it's trying to convey through those lyrics. But even aside from that, yeah, the actual singability of it, I think, is something I've wanted to bring to the kind of jazz trio. Well, it's something you can sing and remember.
It's a jazz trio. You don't have a vocalist.
No.
Is that something that you've ever thought about?
What, having one or not having one?
Yeah, having a vocalist or creating music that has then lyrics with a vocalist on top.
I've thought of having a vocalist to sing the melodies. I haven't personally thought of writing words. I'm not the greatest lyricist. I used to write songs with lyrics when I was a kid and a teenager with like a friend, but I really, you know, they're pretty ghastly, some of the lyrics. I wouldn't bring them to what I'm doing now, so I'd rely on someone else to do that. But certainly, you know, the sound of a voice singing the melody, I think, could really work.
Michelle Nicole was in a couple of weeks ago talking about her Bach project, where she and her quartet would sing the music of Bach in a jazz styling. But again, she wasn't using words, as you're talking about here. She was literally just using her voice to create tones.
Right.
Create the melody.
It's like what Invenio does to some degree.
J.N. Slater.
Yeah. There's a certain quality of that that has that element. You know, the non-verbal music.
Yeah. I might look forward to hearing something of that in future years at some stage.
Potentially.
I'll keep my ears and eyes
peeled.
Peeled. Exactly. Thank you, Corey. Now you're going over to Nashville. You're leaving Refraction. Why Nashville? It sounds very country and western, might I say.
Yeah, I do get that question. Yeah, the old two styles, country and western. Yeah, look, there's probably a few different reasons. One of them being, two of the main reasons being, I do traditionally played quite a lot of different styles of music, and particularly over the last 7 to 8 years, done quite a lot of country in the Australian country music scene, and I've quite enjoyed that, doing something very, very different. You know, different style that I kind of had to go back and work on it, actually, as a drummer, to learn those styles, to learn those feels and really get inside those. So I'm certainly amenable to playing styles other than jazz. And look, Nashville does have a lot of different things going on. It's obviously not the home of jazz. It's not far from the home of jazz in New York, a couple of states across, but there's a lot of different things happening there. I'm not there yet permanently, so I'm not going to make too many claims on what's happening or not happening. Look, the second main reason, I guess, is that it's somewhere that I have some contacts. A friend of mine who lives interstate is moving over there in October. There's a few expats there, Aussie expats. So it's somewhere that I could feel comfortable in just sort of turning up, living, trying to do some musical projects, get some gigs and go from there. And if in some time to come there's a better place to be had, then I'll do that. But it was somewhere to start, essentially.
Is there in your mind a particular activity that you want to get to do while you're over in America?
Well, initially, the musician thing of being able to earn a fair bit of my living playing drums, doing music. Yeah, yeah, I've spent a lot of time teaching, and teaching's fine. There comes a point where you go, it'd be nice to be able to, totally open to doing a bit of teaching, but just try and play, just do gigs, develop my own skills as a drummer in those settings, and just live a little bit of the muso life for a while and just see how that works out.
Well, best wishes to you, Chris.
Thanks.
for that venture into Nashville, into America. Mm. I hope it all goes extremely well for you.
Yeah, so do I.
Are you intending to come back to Australia? That's my next key question.
At this stage, I can't see myself living over there in the US for the rest of my life. But that said, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm sort of giving it, you know, a 6-month period, and then at the end of the year it feels right to stay and things are happening enough and it's sustainable, then I'll do that, stay into next year and just see what happens. So I can't say that I'll be back straight away, but then I also can't say that I'll just never be back, and honestly don't know.
Give yourself a decent time there, and if something crops up, you'll stay some time there and come back home eventually.
Yeah, sounds potentially good. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Chris, you have to have a last gig with Refraction.
Mm.
And you've actually, as I understand it, you've got one coming up very shortly, then you're going across, then coming back for a quick other gig and then going back again.
Yes, in September I'm coming back for a week, yeah.
And you've just scheduled music in that week anyway.
Well, yeah. Look, I've had that gig, the September gig, at the Recital Centre, the Salon, booked in for some time before I'd made the decision to move. So I had a decision to make as to whether I was going to can it or come back. So I ended up deciding to come back for that.
I think that's a great idea to come back for that one. We can get to see you twice in this year. What's happening at the Salon? What type of a gig is that one?
Well, it's just us. It's part of the Jazz in the Salon series that they have. The title of it, mainly because they wanted to have a title, it's called Trio Music Reimagined. Reimagined is the name of our third current album.
It is.
So it's essentially a one-hour set in the Salon. It's a great room to play in. I haven't played in there. I've been in there. I haven't played, so I'll definitely look forward to playing.
It is a beautiful room.
Yeah. 1 hour set from 7 till 8, playing our music. We'll be playing a little bit of the new music. We're actually about to record some new material, so we want to perform some of it there.
So this is new material you're writing before you're going over?
Recording. We're actually recording in a couple of weeks. It's a little bit of a last hurrah recording.
This will be your fourth album?
Yes.
Very good. 4 in 4 years.
Is it?
Or thereabouts.
Abouts, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That's
a very big schedule to keep.
Yeah. Maybe.
You obviously don't think it's a big schedule. That's good.
No, well, initially, I'll be taking the recording over there, overseas, and doing some mixing and editing, so I'm not going to be doing a whole lot straight away. So I'll have some time to, do all that and hopefully get it out later in the year or early next year or something.
Remember us here at Bent Notes.
Yeah, we'll do.
When you're a big star over in America.
Drummers don't become stars, I don't think. They're always at the back of the stage.
You could be the first.
Yeah.
Now, your last gig before you go across, though, is coming up in a couple of weeks' time at the Kew Courthouse.
Mm.
And it's not just another Refraction getting up on stage and playing. You're collaborating with a filmmaker.
Yeah.
This sounds rather interesting. What's the reason behind doing this?
In some sense, we are getting up on the stage and playing. So there is that. But I got the inspiration from... So basically, essentially what it is, a filmmaker friend of mine named Beth Hamburg is making essentially some installation visuals for the music. The idea sort of partly came from the White Night idea. We performed at White Night at the start of last year, and I've just attended White Night before, and I really like that idea of the installations, the visuals, the projections, just those ideas, where whether it is a performance with those things or if it's just the visuals itself or a lot of the different things that they have going on there. Another part of the inspiration was seeing... It's an Australian... She's lives here and in France, called Angelica Massidi. She does a lot of, what would you call them, this sort of film installation-y... I think she's probably sort of call herself a film visual artist. And I was up at the NGA in Canberra last year, had one of her installations there, which is basically just 4 projectors, and she'd recorded... Oh, I'm really trying to remember the name of the actual composition. It's lost on me right now. But basically a performance, 4 different performers recorded in some different locations, one in a pool. I think she was a Cameroon lady performing in a pool, cellist, a singer, and I can't remember the other one. I'd have to, it's easy to look online. Anyway, and so part of the installation was sort of mixing and mashing up the sounds and the visuals into kind of a sort of basically a refraction of colour, essentially.
Yes.
So I sort of nabbed that and put it together, the White Night thing, and myself and Beth came up with this.
So how did you determine what... Did you take the work that Beth had done and put your music to it, or vice versa?
Pretty much vice versa, yeah. The music obviously is essentially already there, but we thought, well, what would it look like to have something visual in the room whilst you play rather than just another gig where you just get up and play? It's like, what would it look like to have play this song that's just in red colour or with some... Yeah, like a projection of some sort. Essentially that was the idea. And so Beth's been making up that sort of stuff. And we'll be using some of the lighting there too, obviously, just to give it a bit of mood, just something different, rather than just, jazz club, here, play, that's it.
Changes the expectation of the audience member from just being able to sit there and listen to having to use your eyes and your ears.
Mm. Yeah.
It is so much more, I think the word would be creative for an audience member when that you've got multiple things.
Yeah,
to
well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, that's what White Knight sets out to do. It always quote unquote asks things of the audience, you know, to participate in one way or another, in a visually, orally.
Three years of refraction. Five. You said 2013. 5 years of refraction.
Yeah, that was the sort of early beginnings.
What stands out over those 5 years? Is there one thing that stands out as a real highlight for you? Is it something you look back on at any time?
I don't know. I'm hoping these two gigs will be that. I'm trying to think. I've enjoyed recording. I actually enjoy the studio, that opportunity to just, you know, hear my music recorded, performed, interpreted. So that's been good. And I enjoy the studio environment, kind of even the mundane, the editing, the fiddling with microphones, I just enjoy that.
The technical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people hate it, but I quite enjoy it. So it's stressful though, because you've got to perform on your instrument, you know, you've got to have written all the music, you've got to care about the music, then you've got to worry about how it's sounding when it's recorded and when this mic should be there. So it's a lot of work, but, yeah, it can be rewarding.
It is that creativity, isn't it, that's getting into the technical vein in order to create something beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
Which is what you'll be doing at the Q Courthouse on Saturday the 21st of July, which is only a couple of weeks, actually, 2 weeks away now. And then, of course, in September 7th, 14th of September at the Melbourne Recital Centre. So more details from the Q Courthouse, chrisbroomhead.com. You've got your own website there with details there. There's the Facebook page for Refraction.
Yep. Yep.
And, of course, the easiest way I discovered is just simply to put into your search engine, Refraction Q Courthouse.
There you go.
And they all come
up. Who would have thought?
Chris, thank you so much for popping in tonight.
No worries. Thanks,
great
David.
To have you here.
Yep.
All the best of luck with, with your Nashville tour. I hope it really is successful and fun for you, and that you do get to spend as much time over there as you need, whether it be in Nashville or travelling around to the other major jazz locations or major musical locations that you find when you're over there.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
And we look forward to Saturday, the 21st of July. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. I think we should hear some more music from Refraction. I reckon a piece from As We Were, the 2016 Rare Colour Records release, from the album, piece composed by drummer and band leader Chris Broomhead. Features Brenton Foster on the keys, Jordan Tarento on the bass, and band leader, of course, Chris Broomhead. This one, and I think it's quite appropriate, actually, to play on the last time we get to chat to Chris on air. It's called Let Go.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.